And grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text this week is going to be the healing of blind Bartimaeus, just outside the city of Jericho. I want us to notice several things about it. The first thing is this. This is the last miracle that Jesus did before his crucifixion. The last miracle. Jesus, think of his ministry. Jesus has been preaching and teaching and healing, restoring, right, the blind, the mute, raising the dead for 3 years. Preaching and teaching and healing, the word about Jesus has spread around, and he is now at Jericho. That's 15 miles from Jerusalem. He is walking southwest from Jericho toward Jerusalem, where he knows he's going to be greeted by Hosanna, and on Friday, crucify him. That's where he's headed, right? Jesus is headed. By the way, he's headed there on purpose for you and for me. But this is the last stop he makes before Jerusalem at Jericho, walking along the road to see this blind man, Bartimaeus, to stop and heal. It's important for us to notice blind Bartimaeus and what goes on here. I want us to just kind of work our way through this text. It's a charming, delightful text about Jesus and this blind beggar. By the way, don't you like it when we know the name? There's so many Bible narratives that don't give you the name. The woman at the well, we don't know. The wise men, we don't know. There's so many people that Jesus interacts with. He touches people, he heals them, he restores their lives, and they're in and out of the Bible so suddenly. This man, it tells us, this is Bartimaeus. The Bible even says, you know, the Aramaic word for son is bar, so Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus. Okay, fair enough. What's that mean? And there's two possibilities. What does Timaeus mean? If Timaeus is Greek, it means honorable man. So can you imagine what a wonderful name that would be? Bartimaeus, son of an honorable man. The problem is in Hebrew, and we don't know, is it Greek or is it Hebrew? In Hebrew, Timaeus means unclean. In that case, Bartimaeus would mean unclean son. Don't know which it is. I do know what the people of that era thought about the blind. You probably do too. What did they think? They thought it was the curse of God. And I don't mean just some people, the disciples themselves. If you think about John chapter 9, you remember that passage? They meet a blind man, and even Jesus' followers say, Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? What did Jesus say? Neither one of them sinned. This happened so that the power of God might be displayed in his life. We never read disease or infirmity as God's hand against people. So I don't know which it was. I know what people thought. Bartimaeus. The Bible tells us he was a beggar. Not all jobs, but most jobs in those days were physical. If you were blind, what did you do? You beg. That's what it did. He's sitting along a major road, as I said, 15 miles from Jericho to Jerusalem. There's always people walking along there. If you're a beggar, where are you going to go? A busy intersection. And he sat down day after day, like people do now, to beg. I don't want to miss this fun little detail. It says the city Jericho. When I say Jericho, doesn't that make your mind leap back to the Old Testament? Jericho. Israel preparing to enter the Holy Land, the promised land, and before they enter it, they send the spies. Do you remember that narrative? They send the spies to spy out the land. How is the land? How are the people of the land? And the people that were already there went to kill the spies, and the spies are hidden. They're hidden by another person. I'm happy to say the Bible gives us her name, by Rahab, and it gives us her profession. She's a prostitute. When I say Jericho, I want you to think, who is welcome in the kingdom of Christ? Everybody thought the blind man had the curse of God in his life. And the prostitute has a disreputable profession. Who is welcome in the kingdom of God? The blind and the prostitute. That's the touch of Jesus, to come into their world and say, you belong to God. And that's a wonderful message, right? I want us to notice another thing. When you read your scriptures, I want you to know that every word of the Bible is important, right? Every word of the Bible is important. It's been inspired by the Holy Spirit. God has said, here's my word. I want you to know these words. And I want us to detect a difference between what the crowd said and what Bartimaeus said. Bartimaeus is sitting by the road. He's in his regular spot. Everybody's thinking, there's Bartimaeus. He always sits there. But it's not a typical day because Jesus is walking by. There's a crowd. The Bible says it was a large crowd. That means there's a commotion. There's a noise. Bartimaeus can't see him, but he can hear him. He's like, what's going on? And I want you to hear the word of the crowd. The word of the crowd says, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth is coming by. Jesus of Nazareth. And I want us to know this about it. Those are not words of faith. That's the way you would address anybody. You address people by their name and by where they're from. Walt of Irmo. Well, Walt recently of Irmo, right? Some of you still call me Walt of Connecticut, trying to train you out of that. Jesus of Nazareth, that's the way you'd say in an ordinary person. They were saying, just an ordinary guy. Well, there's a lot of hubbub, there's a lot of noise, we've heard the stories, we don't know if they're true or not. Jesus of Nazareth is here. No big deal. Knowing that the crowd says that, what does Bartimaeus say? So important. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Those are words full of faith. Son of David, that means Messiah. Jesus, you are the Christ. I've heard about what you've been doing. I get it. I understand. This is the Christ. Jesus, Son of David. He's thinking Isaiah 9, Jeremiah 23, the Christ will come, the promised one will come. He will be a son of David and sit on his throne forever. The blind beggar gets it. Notice this too. And not being ashamed to follow Christ. The Bible says he shouts it. The Greek word is krazo. That doesn't mean just to speak. It literally does mean to shout. Krazo is the word that's used when Jesus speaks from the cross. It's also the word that's used when a woman is in childbirth. How did he cry out? With urgency, right? Urgency. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd, they shush him. Quiet. Keep it down over there, blind beggar. Keep it down. I love what he does. What's the text say? He shouts all the more. That's wonderful. This is a man of faith calling out. I need help from Jesus. In fact, I need help from Jesus that I can get nowhere else. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Pipe down, right? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. It's great. He is not ashamed. He does not care what people think. I want us to notice this. Bartimaeus does not care about his dignity, right? That's Bartimaeus. Now, the crowd is a mixed bag, aren't they? It always is. The crowd is uncaring at the level that they're used to walking by this man every day. They tell him to quiet down. But when Jesus hears, there must be a couple decent, there's always a few decent people out there. When Jesus hears him, Jesus stops, calls the man, and the crowd, it's different people in the crowd, right? But the crowd says, cheer up, he's calling you. Thanks be to God, there's a few nice souls. But I want us to not be surprised, and we shouldn't be surprised in our own lives. Are not there people in your life who discourage and people who encourage? And you have to know who's who and listen to what you need to listen to sometimes. But there are people who discourage, there's people who encourage. And Jesus says these important words. What do you want me to do for you? Here's a question for us this morning. When we pray to God, do we always get what we ask for? No. We all know the answer, but I want us to know, is that in the Bible, right? Is that in the Bible that we don't always get what we ask for? And the answer is, not only is it in the Bible, it's in this chapter, in Mark chapter 10. And it was occurring to me that it seems like I just read these words recently. Jesus saying, what do you want me to do for you? That's our verse this morning, verse 51. What do you want me to do for you? It sounds familiar. Guess what? Mark 10, verse 36, Jesus says the exact same words to somebody else. Mark 10, 36. And that is the passage where James and John have come to Jesus and said, Jesus, we want you to do something for us. And Jesus says the same words, what do you want me to do for you? And they say, how knuckleheaded is this? When you come in your glory, can one of us sit on your right and one of us on your left? That's what they asked the Lord to do. That's not asking the Lord to meet us in our need. That's self-aggrandizing, right? Lord, can I sit on your right? Can my brother sit on your left when you come in your kingdom? And what does Jesus say? That's not even mine to grant. So no, we don't get everything we want. But I do want us to notice this, Mark 10, 51, where he says it to Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? And this weird thing, somehow Jesus wants us to vocalize it. Jesus wants him to state his need. Does Jesus know what the need is? Of course he does. He wanted him to speak it out of his mouth. What do you want me to do for you? I think Jesus needs us in prayer to speak with honesty, to speak with openness, to speak from the depths of our need, and to be specific. And that's a message about our prayer life, right? To be honest and open, to speak out our need, to be specific. Rabbi, I want to see. And Jesus heals him. He heals him. Gives him sight. Jesus says, your faith has healed you. Our translators went with the word healed. There's one Greek verb. It has two meanings. Same verb. Either means your faith has healed you. It also could mean your faith has saved you. Think of it. Your faith has saved you. That's the text right before Holy Week. Jesus is days away from the cross, and he wants us to see this. Yeah, I said see, right? We're talking about a blind man. What's the text about? This is what the text is about. The text is about a blind man who sees who Jesus is. And seeing, Jesus heals him so that he can go seeing, right? Get it? The blind man who sees, and the crowd that's all over the place. And after the miracle is done, these wonderful words, and he followed Jesus along the road. He followed. The Greek verb, we're not going to do a grammar lesson, but I want us to know this. The Greek verb is a particular Greek tense. It's the imperfect tense. It means something you have begun to do and keep on doing. It could be, the translators want to do it with one word. I understand that. And he followed Jesus. It could say, and he began to follow Jesus and kept on following him. Bartimaeus, the man of faith. So this text, I think, to wrap up, has an easy part and a hard part. Here's the easy part. Whenever we see a miracle, we say, there's a miracle, what do the miracles mean? And they vary in the details, the particulars are different from one to one, and sometimes some specific message, but always the big message is, Jesus could perform this miracle, Jesus is the Christ. That, right? That's the message. Jesus can do these things. Jesus touches broken bodies, he restores them, this is the Christ. Easy, right? We get that. We're here, we believe that. Here's the hard part. To know that I'm the blind man, right? To know that I am the blind man. Anyone in faith can see who Jesus is. That part's true. We see who Jesus is. But is not there a lot of stuff I don't see very clearly? Even in the faith, I do not always see sufficiently my own sin. I do not always see the way I have treated other people. And I certainly don't always see the stupid stuff I say, right? Bartimaeus, the blind man, sees Jesus, but he has a desperate need in his life, and that's us. And if we are the blind man, what do we say? He told us. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Isn't the nice message of this text, he does? And before we start to think I'm unworthy, well, of course you're unworthy. That has nothing to do with it. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, headed to the cross, have mercy on me. Jesus, who will walk out of your tomb, have mercy on me. And he does. He always does. Amen. And we stand together. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.